ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम 11th कैंटो चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट नंबर 45। श्रीहविरुवाच सर्वभूतेषु यः पश्येत् भगवद्भावमात्मनः भूतानि भगवत्यात्मनि एष भागवतोत्तमा। श्रीहविरुवाच सर्वभूतेषु यः पश्येत् भगवद्भावमात्मनः भूतानि भगवत्यात्मनि एष भागवतोत्तमा। श्रीहविरुवाच सर्वभूतेषु यः पश्येत् भगवद्भावमात्मनः भूतानि भगवत्यात्मनि एष भागवतोत्तमा। भगवद्भावमात्मनः भूतानि भगवत्यात्मनि एष भागवतोत्तमा। श्रीहविरुवाच सर्वभूतेषु यः पश्येत् भगवद्भावमात्मनः भूतानि भगवत्यात्मनि एष भागवतोत्तमा। श्रीहविरुवाच सर्वभूतेषु यः पश्येत् भूतानि भगवत्यात्मनि एष भागवतोत्तमा।
मतिस् Translation. Sri Havir said, "The most advanced devotee sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated within the Lord." Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. We'll continue where we left off. The analogy is given that a lusty man, being agitated by sexual desire, sees the whole world as filled with sensuous women. In a similar way, a pure devotee of Krishna sees Krishna consciousness everywhere, although it may be temporarily covered. Thus one sees the world just as one sees himself. Atmavan manyate jagat. On this basis, one may argue that the vision of the Mahabhagavata is also illusioned, since the Bhagavatam has already stated throughout that those conditioned by the three modes of material nature are not at all Krishna conscious, but in fact are inimical to Krishna. But although the conditioned living entity may appear inimical to the Lord, The eternal, unalterable fact is that every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. Although one's ecstatic love for Krishna may now be covered by the influence of Maya, by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the conditioned soul will gradually be promoted to the stage of Krishna consciousness. In fact, everyone is suffering the pangs of separation from Krishna. Because the conditioned soul imagines that he has no eternal relationship with Krishna, he is unable to ascertain that all his miseries are due to this separation. This is Maya, or that which is not. Actually, to think that misery arises from anything other than separation from Krishna is to be an illusion. So when a pure devotee sees living entities suffering within this world, he correctly feels that just as he is suffering because of separation from Krishna, all the living beings are also suffering from separation from Krishna. The difference is that a pure devotee correctly ascertains the cause of his heartbreak, whereas the conditioned soul, bewildered by Maya, is unable to understand his eternal relationship with Krishna and the unlimited pain arising from neglect of that relationship. Srila Jiva Goswami has quoted the following verses which illustrate the ecstatic feelings of the topmost devotee of the Lord. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10.35.9, the goddess of Vraja speak as follows. Vanalatas tarva atmani vishnum vyanjayantya iva pushpa phaladya pranata bhara vitapa madhudhara prema hrishta tanavo vavrushu sma. The creepers and trees of the forest, their branches weighed down by rich coverings of flowers and fruits, seem to manifest Lord Vishnu within their hearts. Exhibiting eruptions of ecstatic love upon their bodies, they pour down rains of honey. Elsewhere in the 10th canto, it is said, Nadyastada tadupadharya mukunda geetam avarta lakshitamano bhava bhagnavega Alingana sthagitamurmi bhujair murarer grunnanti padayugalam kamalopahara. Hearing the song of Lord Mukunda's flute, the rivers then stopped their currents, although the minds of the rivers could still be ascertained from the presence of whirlpools. With the arms of their waves, the rivers seized the two lotus feet of Murari, taking help from lotus plants, and thus he became trapped in their embrace. And in the last chapter of the 10th canto, the queens of Dwarka pray. Kurari vilapasitvam vita nidrana sheshe swapiti jagati ratryam ishvaro gupta bodha vayamiva sakhi kachit gadha nirvidha cheta nalina nayana haso darali lekshitena. Dear Kurari, now it is very late at night. Everyone is sleeping. The whole world is now calm and peaceful. At this time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is sleeping, although his knowledge is undisturbed by any circumstance. Then why are you not sleeping? Why are you lamenting like this throughout the whole night? Dear friend, is it that you are also attracted by the lotus eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and by his sweet, smiling and attractive words, exactly as we are? Do those dealings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead pinch your heart as they do ours? Srila Vishwa Chakravarti Thakur has also given Mother Yashoda as an example of an Uttama Adhikari. For Mother Yashoda actually saw all living beings within the mouth of Krishna during the Lord's Vrindavan Leela. Srila Vishwa Chakravarti Thakur also points out in his commentary, Atra Pashyet Vi Tatha Darshana Yogya Taiva Vivikshita Natu Tatha Darshanasya Sarva Kalikata. In this verse, the word Pashyet, or one must see, does not mean that at every moment one is visualizing the form of Krishna. Rather, it means that one has reached the exalted platform of devotional service on which he is fit to see or is capable of seeing Krishna's form. If only those who constantly see the form of Krishna are to be considered Uttamadhikaris, then Narada, Vyasa and Shukadev cannot be considered topmost devotees, since they do not always see the Lord everywhere. Of course, Narada, Vyasa and Shukadeva are considered to be on the highest standard of pure devotion service, And therefore the real qualification is tad didrukshadhikya, or having an overwhelming desire to see the Lord. Therefore the statement of Bhagavad Gita that a devotee should see Krishna everywhere, yomam pashyati sarvatra, can be understood in terms of the example of a lusty man's thinking that the world is full of beautiful women. Similarly, one should become transcendentally so desirous of seeing the Lord that one can perceive within the entire universe nothing but Krishna and His potency. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. In Srila Prabhupada's correspondence in 1969 with Professor J.F. Stahl of the University of California, Srila Prabhupada claimed that all of His disciples who were strictly following the intense program of Krishna consciousness were in fact Sudurlabha Mahatmas who were seeing Vasudeva Sarvam. In other words, if one is constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness with an intense desire to please the Lord and one day gain His association, it is to be understood that in one's life there is nothing but Krishna. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has warned us, however, that a mere theoretical or academic understanding that Krishna is everything does not qualify one as a first-class devotee. One must actually have developed love for Krishna. Therefore, it can be practically understood that anyone who enthusiastically adopts the Krishna consciousness program and eagerly participates in the preaching activities of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is acting on the platform of a Madhyama Adhikari devotee. When such a devotee becomes overwhelmed by his desire to serve Krishna and associate with the Lord, so much so that he is not attracted to anything else within the universe, he should be understood to be an Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava, as mentioned in this verse. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I'd like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees here. So this is the beginning of a description of the three levels of devotees. This is spoken by Sage Havi to King Nimi. Sage Havi of the Navayogendras. So as we saw in this purport, this last section of the purport, this verse is talking about the Uttamadhikari, or a devotee on the highest platform of devotional service. And as the purport said here, this vision of a devotee of seeing everything sees within the soul of all souls the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. Seeing Krishna everywhere within all living entities. This vision is not just a theoretical vision.
And in the purport, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is saying, the word pashyet in this verse is means one sees everything in relation to Krishna. Not that whatever you see transforms into the form of Krishna. That is an imaginary, not that kind of imagination. But seeing everything in relation to Krishna. So when a devotee sees a tree or any other object in this world, he sees the connection, how it is emanating from Krishna or how it can be utilized in Krishna's service. Prabhupada gives the example of a mother and a child. So the child is away from the mother, and if the mother is seeing any object, the dress of a child or the shoes of a child, the toys of the child, as soon as that object is seen, the mother remembers the child. Right? Not that the toy transforms into the form of a child. Not like that. But remembers the connection of the object with the child. That's how a devotee sees Krishna everywhere. Everything can be utilized in Krishna's service, and everything has a connection with Krishna. Including all living beings, not just objects of this world, but every living entity. Like the purport said, how the devotee feels miserable seeing others' misery. Because he feels, I am suffering because of separation from Krishna. Therefore, every living entity is suffering because of separation from Krishna. And everyone has a relationship with Krishna. Therefore, the best way, best service I can render to them is rejoin them, re-establish their relationship with Krishna. So, in the Bhagavatam we find, 7th canto, in the story of Prahlad, Prahlad is considered as an Uttam Adhikari devotee. So when Hiranyakashipu challenged Prahlad, where is your Lord? Prahlad being an Uttam Adhikari, he could see Krishna everywhere. So he asked, so is he there in the pillar? Prahlad said, yes, he's there in the pillar. So to prove Prahlad's words, Lord Narasimhadev comes out of the pillar and proves his statement of he being present everywhere and Prahlad's ability to see Krishna everywhere. In the third canto where Prahlad's qualities are described, this is a chapter of the discussion between Kashyapa and Aditi. Kashyapa and Diti. So when Diti is depressed upon hearing that her two sons are going to be demons, Kashyapa assures her that your grandson will be a Mahabhagavat. And then he goes on to describe the qualities of that Mahabhagavat grandson, Prahlad. So the shloka says, Savai Mahabhagavato Mahatma Mahanubhavo Mahatam Mahishtha. This is how he's describing Prahlad's qualities. So it means that that topmost devotee of the Lord will have expanded intelligence and expanded influence and will be the greatest of the great souls. Mahanubhavo. Due to mature devotional service, he will certainly be situated in transcendental ecstasy and will enter the spiritual sky after quitting this world. He will be a reservoir of all good qualities. He will be jolly and happy in others' happiness, distressed in others' distress, and will have no enemies. He will be a destroyer of the lamentation of all the universes. And your grandson will be able to see inside and outside the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are the qualities of Prahlad, Mahabhagavat. So as the purport describes, another qualification of a Mahabhagavata is that he has this overwhelming desire to see Krishna. The desire to see Krishna itself qualifies oneself to become a Mahabhagavata. Eagerness to see Krishna. So that is one qualification described here. And another qualification is
is their extraordinary ability to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere. I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur also describes this. One can evaluate the caliber of a devotee by how many Vaishnavas they can create. Right? So if you look at Prabhupada's example, then Prabhupada qualifies in that definition. Created, so he infused pure devotee faith in Krishna to millions of people. Many of them raised themselves to the platform of Madhyamadhikaris, and they were then empowered to preach. So such kind of mass transformation can be done only by an Uttamadhikari devotee. These devotees are under the Daivi Prakriti, as Krishna also discussed in the Gita. Mahatmanastu mam partha Daivim Prakriti Mashrita. So under the shelter of divine potency, they are empowered to preach, empowered to spread the message of Krishna to a large extent. And Kaviraj Goswami in his Chaitanya Charitamrita describes the 26 qualities of a Mahabhagavata, starting with Kripalu, Akrita, Droha, Satya, Sarasam. So 26, a list of 26 qualities are there. And Satsurup Maharaj has written a book, 26 qualities of devotees, and how all these 26 qualities were manifested in the personality of Prabhupada. So out of these 26 qualities, one quality is most important. That is Krishnaika Sharana, or surrender to Krishna. Exclusive surrender to Krishna. All other qualities like humility, tolerance and sense control, these are said to be secondary. From this quality of Krishnaika Sharana, all other qualities will automatically develop and follow. And absence of this quality will make all other good qualities fade away. So when we see such good qualities in non-devotee, then without surrender to Krishna, without the quality of surrender to Krishna, then we should understand that such qualities cannot survive for long. Whereas if we don't see such secondary qualities in a devotee who has taken complete shelter of Krishna, we should be careful enough to avoid offenses, criticizing them for the absence of such qualities. Shivaram Maharaj explains this, how we should be careful of such offenses that one may end up committing for not being able to see the other secondary qualities in a devotee, especially in a Mahabhagavat. Even in the Gita 6th chapter, you find Krishna describing these three levels of devotees, although the technical terms are not mentioned in the verses. But in 6th chapter 30, 31 and 32, Krishna describes the qualities of a Mahabhagavat or an Uttamadhikari. So this verse is, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamai Pashyati Tasyaham Na Pranashyami Sachame Na Pranashyati. Seeing Krishna everywhere. Even the purport, this verse is quoted. So a pure devotee, because their eyes are anointed with Premanjana, anointed with the ointment of love for Krishna, they are able to see Krishna everywhere. And the Vrajavasis, gopis especially, are the ones who exemplified this quality to the highest level. Like in that section where Krishna disappeared from the Rasleela, they were seeing Krishna everywhere. They were imagining Krishna, they were enacting Krishna's pastimes, and they were asking even animals, did you see Krishna, did you see Krishna? That kind of intense eagerness to see Krishna was present in them. And the next verse says, Sarva Bhutastitam Yomam Bhajatyekattvam Asita. Krishna says, Sarva Bhutastitam Yomam. They see me, Mam, situated in every living entity. And that is another quality of a Mahabhagavat. And the next verse, 32nd, also says, ആത്മാവ് പമ്യേന സർവത്ര സമം പശ്യതി അർജുന സുഖം വാ യദി വാ ദുഃഖം സയോഗി പരമോമത. സോ എ പ്യുർ ഡിവോട്ടി ഓൺ ദ ഹൈയസ്റ്റ് പ്ലാറ്റ്ഫോം കൺസിഡേഴ്സ് എവ്രി അതർ ലിവിംഗ് എന്റിറ്റി ടു ബി ലൈക് ഹിംസെൽഫ്. ഇൻ ദ സെൻസ് വാട്ട് എവർ പെയിൻ ആൻഡ് പ്ലഷേഴ്സ് വി ഫീൽ, സിമിലർലി ഹി ഈസ് ഏബിൾ ടു റിലേറ്റ് ടു അതേഴ്സ് പെയിൻ ആൻഡ് പ്ലഷേഴ്സ് by comparison. So therefore that is the vision of a uttamadhikari. There is this incident of Prabhupada, of a yogi, a reporter going to a yogi in the Himalayas asking, he was impressed by the yogi's spiritual qualities and advancement. So he said, why don't you people go to the western world outside everywhere and then share this message alone in the Himalayas, you're preaching. Who is benefiting? You are benefiting alone. So he said, if anyone wants this knowledge, they should come here. People who are eager to seek out knowledge, they should come. And that's the rule, right? Teacher doesn't go everywhere and catch students and say, join my school, join my class. Students should approach the teacher and ask for knowledge. But the condition in Kali Yuga is so horrible that teachers have to run behind students and catch hold of them and get them admitted and teach them. That's what Prabhupada did. He could have stayed in Vrindavan, but then he went alone all the way to the west and then shared this message. So that's the quality of a Mahabhagavat. Intense eagerness to share and spread this message with others. So that's the, in the Gita we find this section. Kaviraj Goswami talks about Radharani, how she is the embodiment, perfect example of a devotee on the highest platform. We have this famous verse. Devi Krishnamayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva Kanti Sammohini Para. The word comes here, Krishnamayi. Devi Krishnamayi Prokta. Krishnamayi means, Kaviraj Goswami explains, one who is within and without our Lord Krishna. The whole personality is formed by, is made of Krishna conscious thoughts and desires. She sees Lord Krishna wherever she casts her glance. Or Krishnamayi means that she is identical with Lord Krishna. For she embodies the mellows of love. The energy of Lord Krishna is identical with him, with her, with him. So this is Radharani's Mahabhagavat status. And in the Bhagavatam 4th canto, we also find Prabhupada describing the son of Dhruva. His name was Utkal. He is also described as a Mahabhagavat. He was uninterested in managing the kingdom and administration, but then he is described as a Mahabhagavat. And Prabhupada quotes this verse again, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra. He was able to, a highly advanced devotee sees the Supreme Lord everywhere, and he also sees everything resting in the Supreme. Although not much details are given about him, but then he is described as Mahabhagavat devotee. So Kaviraj Goswami, Prabhupada, if we see Prabhupada's writings, Prabhupada usually equates an Uttamadhikari devotee on the highest platform. He defines an Uttamadhikari devotee who has attained the highest level of devotion and situated fixed on that platform. Whereas some of our acharyas give a slightly technical difference between a devotee who is qualified to attain that position with a devotee who has already attained that position. The slight difference they make the distinction. So Kaviraj Goswami gives the definition of three levels. Shraddhavan Janahai Bhakti Adhikari Uttama Madhyama Kanishtha Shraddha Anusari. So Adhikar or qualification or eligibility. According to one's eligibility, he is classified as Kanishta, Madhyama or Uttama. So Shivaram Maharaj gives an example. Say for example, a student who wants to get admitted in a college or a university. So they give an entrance test and based on the results. So one student gets just an average score. Second student gets a good score. And a third student gets the highest score. Now the university administration has to select a student. Whom will they choose for their degree or a PhD, whatever course they have? So they see the average student needs a lot of tutoring and coaching in order to raise him to the standard of giving that PhD degree. The student who got a good score, with a little effort, with a little tutoring, coaching, he can rise himself. He can be raised to the level. Whereas the one who got the highest score, with very hardly any effort, he can automatically take up to that level. So similarly, to take up pure devotion service, there is an eligibility. And what defines that eligibility or qualification? That is faith and knowledge. According to one's faith and knowledge, one is qualified to take up the practices of pure devotion service. So one who has a weak faith and weak knowledge, we find this in the Nectar of Devotion also, weak faith and weak knowledge is least qualified to take up the practice of pure devotional service. So there is this Rupa Goswami's definition. Shastre yuktau cha nipuna sarvatha dhrida nischaya praudha shraddho dikariya sabhakta uttamo mataha. So praudha shraddha is deep conviction and faith. And shastre yuktau cha nipuna, he is nipuna in shastric knowledge. Such a person has the adhikar, highest adhikar, to practice pure devotional service. On the other hand, a madhyama adhikari is one who has medium level of faith and conviction. So Rupa Goswami says, yes, shastra adishu anipuna, but shraddhavan satu madhyama. His knowledge is weak, but faith is strong. That is a madhyama adhikari. Strong faith, weak knowledge is the qualification of a madhyama adhikari. So with little effort, with little training, little coaching, such a person can be raised to the uttama adhikari platform. And who is the one who has the least qualification? Kanishta adhikari is yo bhavet komala shraddha sa kanishtho nigadyate. One whose faith is not strong and who is just a beginner should be considered a neophyte. So knowledge is weak, faith is weak, cannot argue against challenges. Such a person has the least qualification to take up pure devotional service. So in the association of pure devotees, even a Kanishta adhikari can raise to the higher levels of devotion. So as the example we saw, a student with training, he can raise. So no one is disqualified. Kanishta adhikari means he has the least qualification, doesn't mean he is disqualified. But with training, he needs lot of training, lot of effort, with help and assistance from others. With time and sincere practice, everyone can raise. So therefore, we need to evaluate ourselves on which platform are we situated and how much effort and assistance we need from others. Constant evaluation is essential. Krishna also says in the Gita, kama krodha vimuktanam yati naam yata chetasa. One who is constantly striving to improve, such a person very soon attains the success, highest success. So Shivram Maharaj writes, compared to the above three classes of devotees, it is evident that the four pious men described in the Gita, Chaturvida, Artho Jigyasur, Arthaarthi, Jnani, these four classes of men are hardly qualified for pure devotion service. Why? Because they do not accept that they should serve Krishna simply to please Him. All these four classes of people go with a motive. They have a motive behind approaching Krishna. Only after they acquire pure faith do they become qualified for pure devotion. And then he goes on to describe about choosing a spiritual master. Because we have seen many people who were serving as spiritual masters were unable to follow the principles for some reason, and as a result many devotees lost their faith in the process, in the movement. Therefore he gives us warning and check and balance system how we should choose a spiritual master. Not that we become offensive, but an objective analysis of a disciple aspiring for serious initiation. So he says, ideally, spiritual master should be Mahabhagavat. That is the ideal condition. Because they have the potency to infuse faith in their followers, they can quickly raise their followers to the highest level. But because this is Kali Yuga, and it's like an epidemic time, and we don't have so many qualified people to act as Mahabhagavats. So then, Lord Chaitanya's statement is there. Everyone should act as gurus. What is that verse? Amar agyay guru hai tarai desh. Especially he urged the Indians to take up the preaching movement. Everyone should become a guru. And Prabhupada also said, we need millions of gurus. So in such a situation, if in the absence of a Mahabhagavat devotee, even Madhyam Adhikari can become a guru. And he says even Kanishtha Adhikari should become a guru. Everyone should become a guru. But Prabhupada writes in that Nectar of Instruction purport, he says, a neophyte Vaishnava or a Vaishnava situated on the intermediate platform can also accept disciples, but such disciples must be on the same platform, and it should be understood that they cannot advance very well toward the ultimate goal of life under his insufficient guidance. And Prabhupada said, but a blind uncle is better than no uncle. So therefore everyone should become a guru. So we have both. Whatever capacity we have, we should preach and guide and bring people to Krishna consciousness. So how to avoid offenses while judging or evaluating devotees? Again we have Nectar of Instruction verse 5, famous verse. Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta deekshasti chet pranadebhischa bhajantamisham shushrushaya bhajana vitnyam ananyamanya nindadi shunya hradamipsita sanga labdhya. So Rupa Goswami says, one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshipping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. This is interesting. One should serve a devotee whose heart is devoid of the tendency to criticize. This is another quality of a Mahabhagavat. He doesn't have the tendency to criticize or blaspheme, fault find others. So coming to judging, so this is how we judge. If a devotee is constantly chanting, we offer respect. Someone who has taken initiation, we offer our obeisances. And someone who is advanced, we hear from them submissively and serve them faithfully. So, one should not sentimentally accept anyone to be on the highest platform. Nor should we offensively judge everyone to be on the lowest platform. So this is the tendency of a conditioned soul to oscillate between these two extremes. Initially we accept someone to be a pure devotee, the best devotee, pure devotee, descending from the spiritual world. And then we worship him, respect him with all heart. And one fault we find, and then we reject him as a bogus person. So we need to evaluate. Somehow we need to evaluate. At the same time, we need to avoid committing offenses. So Rupa Goswami says, he advises you to use your intelligence to distinguish between Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama. Such discrimination will help us select a suitable spiritual master. And it will also help them evaluate their own position and avoid imitating devotees on a higher platform. The duty of all devotees who aspire for perfection is to seriously practice devotional service and raise their qualification. So, we need to be serious and we need to be constantly observing our own levels, and we need to observe others also. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur also, in one song, it's not a very famous song, but Jagdish Hari Prabhu gave me this song of how he talks about Kanishta, Madhyama, Uttama. This song is Kabe Mui Vaishnava Chinibo. So in this song he writes, Kanishta Madhyama Uttama Pravede Vaishnava Trividagani Kanishta Adar Madhyame Pranati Uttame Shushrushashuni. So Adar for Kanishta, respect. Madhyame Pranati, I offer obeisances. And Uttame Shushrushashuni, I submissively hear from an Uttama devotee. And he describes the qualities of an Uttama Adhikari. Such a revered devotee is always transcendental, free from all faults, and fully joyful in spiritual bliss. Being lovingly attached to the holy name of the Lord, and always disinterested and callous towards worldly interests, he is always melted with compassion for all souls. Krishna name Preeti Jade Udasin. Jade Udasin. He is indifferent to material objects and activities. Devoid of any trace of false ego, fully experienced and expert in bhajan, the pure devotee is completely detached from all types of sense objects. Abhimana heena. Bhajana Praveena Vishayate Anasakta. And then he says, Antar Bahire Nishkapata Sada Nitya Leela Anurakta. He is always straightforward and sincere both internally and externally, and is completely attracted to relishing the eternal pastimes of Krishna. Nitya Leela Anurakta. O my Lord Hari, when will I ever be able to realize who is actually a real Vaishnav? The lotus feet of whom are like a mine of all auspiciousness. When will I become madly overwhelmed by holding such lotus feet within the core of my heart? So there are several such sections in the Bhagavatam also we find. Even in the Gita we find the 12th chapter last section, where Krishna is describing the qualities of a pure devotee. Unaffected by happiness and distress, not agitated by others' provokings, tolerance, humility, always thinking of Krishna. So all these sections we find, and even in the Bhagavatam we find several such descriptions. One qualification of a devotee is, although he sees, as this verse describes, although he sees Krishna everywhere, he takes extra pleasure in associating with devotees. So in the Prachaita section we find Lord Shiva, who is the Mahabhagavat, when he sees Prachaita performing tapasya, he is delighted to approach them and associate with them. So devotees are having equal vision, but when they meet other devotees, they want to associate with them and want to take their association and discuss Krishna consciousness. So machitta madgala prana parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. So this is the qualities of a Mahabhagavat devotee. And the later verses, Javier is going to explain the qualities of Madhyama, Uttama, Madhyama, Kanishtha. In this way the section will continue. So I'll stop here. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Prabhu, like you mentioned about evaluating devotees and have our dealings accordingly. So you also have heard that our mood should be that everyone is a devotee except me, and seeing everyone as a senior. So is this what you mentioned? Is it a practice for Uttama Adhikaris, or is it like can be practiced by anyone? Like, how do we put it into practice?
In the beginning, it may not come out of realization, but at least Prabhupada said, no, fake it until you make it. So, of course, we should make sure it doesn't become just an artificial. Fake it doesn't mean it should be totally artificial and just flattery. Not out of flattery, we should just glorify others and then talk about our artificially. We should not talk about our own humility. But fake it means we sincerely strive to reach that position, reach that understanding, and appreciate others' glories and find faults in ourselves. So in the beginning, not in the beginning, we need to put that extra effort. In the advanced stages, a devotee automatically sees faults. Like Kaviraj Goswami talking about, I am the worm in the stool and all those things. But in the beginning stages, we don't see faults in ourselves. So we need to strive, we need to put extra effort to see our own faults, and we need to strive even to see good in others. Because usually that is also not seen. So then a little bit of artificial efforts are needed. But not to the point where it becomes just plain flattery and too much criticizing of our own self. That can lead to depression. Not to that extent. Does that make sense?
I was also asking that how you see that, okay, this person is a senior, this is a equal, this is a junior. So that practice, is it for like when you are in an advanced stage or you...
No, we do it even now. Don't we do it in our dealings? We tend to associate with our batchmates. We respect those who have spent 10, 15, 20 years in the ashram. And we respect even those who are newcomers, but we may not spend too much time with them. That happens anyway. We need to be conscious of how much time, like someone made this statement. We need to spend 60% of our time with equals, 20 with seniors, 20 with juniors. That kind of calculation is given sometimes. So we need to be conscious. The whole thing is, whom are we associating with, and where, what is our stage? A constant observation and evaluation is needed. Not just in the beginning stages or in the advanced, not all stages. That's a constant thing. Yes.
Hare Krishna. In the context of not making any offenses against a surrendered devotee, but not having the secondary quality that we were mentioning, how do we, is there a unique way of identifying a surrendered devotee? It's just like when I come across someone.
Usually the faith is what determines. Faith in Krishna. Faith in the process. Surrendered devotee is one way to understand who is a surrendered devotee, is their constant engagement in the activities of pure devotion. How focused, how to what degree engagement, constantly they are engaged in that process, not as intermediate, not just once in a blue moon. That is one way of defining and checking who is a surrendered devotee, despite their negative qualities. So there are several characteristics, who is a surrendered devotee. But this is one way we can check. Okay, we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.